Have you, get that on the podcast for sure. Have you been listening to the podcast? You know what I love best about the podcast? Those kind of things happening, you know? Because you know what I hate? It's just personal. I can't stand going on church websites and watching preachers or listening to them. Everything is so perfect. Everything is so slick. Everything is so canned. I wonder whether they've ever made a mistake in their life. I mean, they don't even need Jesus. They're so perfect, you know? And every time that kind of stuff happens, boy, well, the Bible says we're supposed to glory in our weaknesses, and you know, because so the cross isn't emptied of its power, and that's kind of where we're at. Now, where's Bobby? Bobby's here. Guys, you realize, like, this is the first time, I think, since we've been here, a lot of our families and our kids are not here this morning, and I really believe that God set it up, okay? I really believe He set it up. I'm going to close this door because there's some playground noise there, and you're probably going to rebuke me for closing the playground because of what's coming up here. I did not tell anybody what I was speaking on this morning, okay? And this is a really different message. And some of you are going to think, while I'm talking, well, that wasn't for me. Oh, yes, it is. It is for all of us, okay? Yeah. And anyway, let's pray, okay? Because I really believe God wants to do something special. The fact that He stopped kids from coming here this morning is huge. Huge, okay? That has never happened in 6 months. And if the whole thing is for Alex and Nicholas here this morning, it's worth it, okay? Because it's Father, just take over right now. You have so powerfully set this thing up this morning, God, that it's kind of got me nervous. I'm of the opinion, Lord, that You're up to something that's very, very powerful and wonderful, and we want to hear from You. And not only, Lord, do we want to hear from You, we need Your Holy Spirit to come into our lives so that we're not just hearing. God, Lord, Your word says in James that if we just hear, we deceive ourselves. Lord, You want people that are obedient to You, that do the word and not just hear the word. And help me, Lord, please help me, Lord, to communicate the way I need to this morning in the name of Jesus. Amen. The offended child. Here we go. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Not a bad question. Who's the greatest?
Jesus.
Greatest, you know? Like Muhammad Ali, I am the greatest, you know? Who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? He called a little child to Him, placed the child among them, and He said, "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Okay? "And whoever welcomes," look at this, "whoever welcomes one such child in My name welcomes Me." This is interesting stuff here. He tells us to change. It's a requirement. He does not want us entering into His kingdom, going about the business of seeing the kingdom of Jesus expand, bringing Christ into our homes, our lives, our finances, our friendships, everything. Okay? He does not want us going in there with an adult mindset. Now, I know there's a balance to this because in 1 Corinthians it says, "When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things." The balance is He wants us childlike, not childish. Big difference, okay? We're talking about childlikeness here. He says change. He says, so in other words, it is a requirement. Childlikeness is a requirement to function properly in the kingdom of God. He says you got to change and you got to become. So He wants us to develop this mindset. Now, just go back to the verse here for a second, okay? In the first two verses, He's using the child as an illustration, okay? He brings them here, like in verse 3 and verse 4, He brings them in here and He says, look, here's an example of what I'm talking about here. And that's pretty mind-blowing, because they live in a culture where might makes right, Rome is in charge, not much different than today, okay? What, you want me to have the opinion? You want me to have the deportment of a helpless, kind of goofy child? Think about it, though. And I got a whole, you know, a message that I do on children and the eternal qualities. And I'm not going to go down that road this morning, but think about kids just for a second. Kids who haven't been marred, who haven't been scarred, because we live in a culture that's loaded with abused kids, okay? But if you've got a kid that has not been scarred and hasn't, you know, has had a relatively healthy upbringing, they have an expectancy to them, you know? They're easy to impress. Really? Oh boy, okay? They have a humility to them. They are shapeable. They're teachable, okay? They have a will to trust. Very few of them have a know-it-all attitude. That usually is developed by the time they're six, if they even have one, 6, 7, 8, 9, because it's a defense mechanism, because they put up with stuff that, you know, they have to kind of assert themselves. But all things being equal, you never see that. Hardly ever. They're enthusiastic, naturally enthusiastic. So he uses in verse 3 and 4, he uses the child as an example. I think most people would click, you know, what he was talking about there. He uses them as an example of what he wants us to be. And then in verse 5, and whoever welcomes one such child in this name welcomes me. He shifts from using the child as an example to saying this child should be and has to be a focus of your ministry. A focus of your attention. That's a little different, isn't it? Okay? Let's look at verse 6 and 7. Okay, let's go on. If anyone causes one of these little ones, here's the next verse, right after 5, and I've used this one a lot, you've heard me use it a lot. If anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble, it would be better for them to have a large millstone, that's about 2 tons, hung around their neck and be drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe to the world because of the things that cause people to stumble. Such things must come, but woe to the person through whom they come. So no longer is the child an illustration. Good illustration. A good example. Now, he's even beyond a focus of ministry now. Jesus makes the child an assignment for his followers, for his serious followers. Okay? It says in verse 7 there that offenses will come. It's a reality. It's inevitable. You don't get kind of coarse or callous to it. It's just Jesus is acknowledging it's going to happen. And he says, you have no part in that. No part whatsoever. And woe to those. You do not want to be. That's almost a curse he's putting on people there. You do not want to be on the cursed side of Christ. Woe to those that cause it. Now, why? Well, you know, we've had a lot of people that, too many people in our culture that have ignored that. And we live in a culture now that we're reaping what we've sowed as a culture. In the Western world, when I'm talking Europe, North America, especially developed first world nations, we have more abortions than live births now. Okay? There are more, significantly a number of more abortions taking place than live births. And it is a serious consideration of first world countries because we have declining birth rates all across, okay? Where populations are literally shrinking, you don't notice it because we have all sorts of third world and second world immigrants coming in to fill the gaps and make it look like the countries are growing. They're not, okay? Now, I'm not making any political statement on immigrants. Thank God that we've got a country of refuge that people can come to find healing and health and everything else, okay? Most people, there are all sorts of circumstances when it comes to abortion. And if you didn't hear Melinda, where are you, Melinda? Melinda, if you didn't hear Melinda's talk last week, she's involved with Silent No More. It's one of the best pro-life organizations for ministering to people that have had abortions and have not been able to handle the trauma that comes with it because nobody says anything about that. And she can give you way more information. But she knows the stats that I'm quoting here are very, very, very accurate. Most abortions take place for two reasons. First of all, they don't know there's any other options available to them, okay? Culture's been very, very good in making this big money-making machine of abortion going. Secondly, it's just inconvenient because our culture has embraced this nonsense that kids are a bother. That kids, you know, how many times have you seen, how much money does it cost to raise a family? Well, $120,000, you know, for one child from the time he's 10. People go that and they go, what? Garbage, it doesn't take that much, okay? Listen, if you follow Christ and you seek first the kingdom of God, I'm a firm believer, and I could probably, if I had to dig, I could probably find stats that God doesn't allow any kid to come into the world that he isn't fully capable of taking care of if there's enough people that will cooperate with him, okay? I mean, I could tell you miracle stories I got a couple living in my basement right now that has 8 kids, okay? The 8 kids aren't there. They're all growing up. They got grandkids, but, you know, they've moved in, okay? And I know the guy who's leading the church, the service over at St. Anne's right now, the pastor of Church of the Messiah, George Sinclair, he has 9 kids, okay? This is in a first world culture. They do without things. You know, they don't always have the latest, you know, $7,000 phone. They don't always, you know, have every channel in the universe that brings a bunch of garbage into your home and you don't need it anyway. You know, they don't go out for big expensive dinners all the time. Why? Because if you get involved with little kids and you see the eternity in them and you see what's capable, you find out that it's a lot higher value than the best that the world could offer. But most of the world doesn't think like that. Most of the world doesn't think like that. They bought this line of crap that, you know, you can't have children until you've got a proper home to provide with them. You know, and to the point where, well, we can't bring it into the world, so we're going to kill it. You know, crazy. Absolutely crazy. Why? And I refer to Romans 1 again, that where God talks about, you know, he gave them over to a depraved mind to do things that ought not to be done. In the area of kids, it's stark. Just let me give you one story. There are countless stories like this. This is Benjamin Levin. Some of you guys know this story, okay? This guy, when Kathleen Wynne was the Minister of Education, her right-hand man, the guy who had more influence in education in Ontario than anybody, was Benjamin Levin. Some of you know what happened to Benjamin Levin. He was found out as being involved in a very, very high-level child pornography and child molestation ring, okay? This guy who literally wrote the educational curriculum. You know the radical sex ed curriculum that's being taught in our schools right now that was rejected? It was rejected in this province five, six years ago. This guy's the main architect of it, okay? He's a convicted pedophile. And the media and our culture, they have said hardly anything. They've allowed the education system to continue the way it has. It hasn't changed a bit since it was under Ben Levin. Nobody, and I don't mean to criticize leaders. I mean, there's never going to be a shortage of corrupt leaders to deceive and, you know, to make themselves, give themselves more power. What's way more dangerous than corrupt leaders is we got a whole province that keeps voting these people in, that don't hold them to account, that don't demand change. Okay? That's the culture we're living in. You can see its attitude. This is the enshrined, voted in, supported culture. This is where our values are. Okay? It's no wonder, like, anyway, we're going to do something about that, okay? Another account of this episode in the disciples, because in the Gospels there's different accounts of this same story, Jesus bringing the child in and making him an assignment, okay? Mark, this is the account from Mark. He took a little child whom he placed among them, taking the child into his arms, he said to them, notice it's a little more explicit here, okay? A little more detail. Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me. Okay? Now there's a reason this is a little more explicit, because just about every commentator and every honest and accurate church historian realizes that that little kid that he picked up, that there's overwhelming evidence that that's actually Mark, the author of the book of Mark. He was not one of the disciples, okay? But he was the youngest, and he would have remembered that detail when he wrote the book of Mark under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Mark was the first gospel. It was written in the 50s, not the 1950s, the first 50s, okay? 50 years after, like 50 years AD. It's the only gospel that records Jesus picking him up in his arms. He was an eyewitness. He remembered. Good illustration. Kids remember way more than you think they do. Way more than you think they do. In Matthew 19:14, Jesus made it clear. I don't put it on the screen because most of you know the scripture where it says, don't stop the kids from coming to me, okay? Because the kingdom of heaven belongs to them, okay? He was never too busy for kids. And you see in Mark 9 and Matthew 18 here, whoever welcomes such a child in my name welcomes me. If anyone causes one of these little ones to stumble, I've read that already. Okay? He's got the toughest words. Like, you mess with these kids, I'll kill you. That's what he's saying. Okay? And I've heard preachers actually preach it like that. That is doing no violence to scripture whatsoever. You mess with these kids, I'll kill you. And yet the tenderest words are there, right there as well. Okay? You welcome this kid, you welcome me. People pray for the Holy Spirit. Pray for, you know, the power of God. Pray for, oh God, come amongst us. God, do this, God, do that. Here's the formula. You make kids priority. He shows up. Why? Because they can't give back. Because they're a pain in the neck. Because they're running all over the place. They're in control. And you think you're in control, but they're not. They're in control. They're all over the place. But if you persist and you love, it's just like us in our relationship with the Lord, isn't it? You know, we're running all over the place. We're doing our own thing. And Jesus died for us. Jesus pursues us. He'll never leave us, forsake us. I'm sure he gets tired chasing after us because he's made a promise. He'll never leave us or forsake us. We're all over the place. And he pursues us. And he wants an example of his people who follow him. He wants them to know what it's like. Hey, look, if you pursue kids, you've got a heart for them. Then you know what? Maybe the kingdom of God is doing something in your life. Maybe something's happening. You see where I'm coming from here? This isn't a children's ministry's message. This is something that Christ wants to burn into our consciences of what his priority is. And how the literal presence of Jesus Christ can be unlocked. It's even more, it's as explicit as communion. This is my body, which is broken for you. In 1 Corinthians 11, it says, if you don't, examine yourselves, you're going to bring judgment on yourself. So if you do examine yourself, and you're in a right relationship with God, the positive's got to be true as well. The presence of Christ is there. Well, he says, if you welcome one of these, if you make them your priority, you are welcoming me. And if you don't, then don't say you're a church. Because you really don't want me. You want things nice and cool. You want people to go, wow, they got a really cool church. I would rather people say, wow, Christ is there than they really got it together there. Verse 7 says, such things, okay, such things, offenses. The Greek word for such things is scandalon, where we get the word scandalous from. Triggers for traps, We got mouse traps that I have to use, okay, got some real good ones. They work good, I have to clean it up. It's not nice. And there's kids enter into things instantly and they can't see the dangers. Scandalon, such things, offenses, temptations, enticements, offensive, repulsive things. Do we really want to be Christ Church? Well, if we do, we're going to have to come to grips with what's going on here. Okay? What's going on? So I'm going to go through these real quick. The offended child. The offended child is tainted by neglect. Tainted by neglect. Parents never there. Latchkey kids. You've heard of that. Some of you are old, are young enough that you maybe were a latchkey kid. Okay? Hey, there's all sorts of things that come up, and there's all sorts of priorities that people give themselves to, and the kids often get kind of shuffled off. There's a neglect to discipline because of that. I'm not talking punishment. I'm talking discipline. When I say discipline, there's life skills. There's nurturing. There's encouragement. It's not, you're going to get yours type thing. If you think discipline is just punishment, you've got a warped view of discipline here. And a kid is raw material. It's kind of like a diamond, They find a diamond. You can't even tell it's a diamond by looking at it. But an expert says, whoa, you don't know it's a diamond until that thing has gone through all sorts of precision cutting, precision, like taking care of it to see the preciousness in it. That's why God says that. Okay. The offended child, bombarded by impurity, profusion of the profane. Oh my goodness. Their innocence is assaulted, so saturated by it, it can't even discern. Most adults can't even discern how impure and profane the world has become because we're so saturated in it. Okay? Our consciences and our morality has been dulled to the point where anything goes. Well, a kid is raised with innocence. A kid is naturally innocent and he sees it everywhere. They don't understand. They know something's going on. And they're naturally curious, but they've been bombarded by it. And there's not a lot of frame of reference where people can say, well, no, this is, that's kind of dangerous because they're not going to believe it's dangerous until it's explained to them. And if nobody loves them and takes the time, that's not going to happen. Okay? They're sitting ducks. They're sitting ducks for anybody to take advantage of them. They're demeaned by ridicule. Okay? You stupid kid. You'll never amount to anything. Last kid picked on the team. That kind of thing. Oh my goodness, that goes on. In fact, that's some of the other stuff we're talking about. That's the mild stuff. Okay? They're debased by poverty. Not every kid, but there's too many that are. Okay? And as you get older, you realize there's a whole world that didn't go through what you went through. when you're 14, 15, 12, and you start realizing, man, like, and you realize how deprived you were and how neglected you were, and you got a lot of generation of kids growing up pretty angry. Like somebody owes them something. Don't be too hard on them when they want to burn the place down, because most of them, you know, have come by it for pretty good reason. Okay? Sometimes it can motivate for good, you know? I didn't have anything, so, but somebody got to that kid and put some motivation in them, or maybe, you know, they got a taste of Christ or whatever, and they used that as, I know I can do this, but most of the time, this whole thing being debased by poverty, it just breeds callousness and defensive behavior and aggression. Of course, the obvious one is the offended child is violated by abuse. So easy to prey on. What did Jesus say? Those things are going to happen. Woe to them. You know, through whom that happens. Humiliated by authority. A coach, a relative, a teacher. You know, I knew the answer, but I never got a chance. I was in a swimming pool with a dad once. You know, and they were racing. You know, and his kids were there. And his kids were about 5 and 6, his 2 sons. He'd never let them win, you know. He'd always would laugh at them. They'd be crying, Dad, you know, you know, you know. No surprise to me that 20 years later, you know, that boy's been in and out of jail. He's on his 3rd marriage. And, you know, chip on his shoulder the size of, I could trace it right back to when he was a little kid. And he was being taunted. And he was being humiliated by an authority figure. They don't forget either. Bruised by disappointment. Missed graduations, birthdays, milestones. With me, it was sports. Now, I got over it long ago. But I was raised in a really, like, you know, legalistic home. Sports on Sundays is sin. Doesn't happen. And I loved playing baseball, okay? And I was good, too. In fact, the older I get, the better I was. And I loved playing baseball. By the time I was 13, I was living in Montreal. I could take the buses and I had a paper out and I could pay for my own fees and everything. And so I said, that's it. I'm going to do it on my own. So I started doing it on my own with no support. In fact, my parents did not want me doing it. So that's the biggest rebellion of my life, playing baseball. I mean, yeah, right. You know, and I was good. We had 3 pitchers on the team. And when I walked out on the team, I quit, and I'll get to that in a second. We didn't have stats back then. I just loved playing the game, but I do remember I had 7 wins and 1 loss when I quit. There's a French kid. His name was Eve. He had 4 wins and 3 losses, but the guy I got to pitch all the time was the coach's son. He was 4 wins and 10 losses, okay? But he got to pitch all the time because he was the coach's son. I saw that guy walk 6 guys in a row once, okay? And, of course, the team is freaking out. And, you know, I've got nobody to support me because in sports, in fact, it's way worse today. If you don't have parental support and a lot of money, forget it, you're going nowhere. And I got so frustrated. I remember I walked off the mound. I walked off in the middle of a game. I was leading. And, you know, I think we were up 4-1 or whatever, 4-2. And I'm doing quite well. I pitched about 4 or 5 innings. And for whatever reason, he wanted to bring his son in. And he wanted me to play in the outfield. I thought, that's it. I'm going. Okay. And I was frustrated. And it took me years to recover. And I held that against my parents. Okay. I forgave them long ago. Everything's okay. Okay. I'm just giving you that we've all got episodes like that in our lives where there was disappointment. I had Jesus help me get over that stuff. Okay. Mine's really mild, ridiculously mild. But a lot of you have experienced things you're thinking right now. Oh, John, you wouldn't believe what I've had to go through. Yeah. You and a lot of everybody. Okay. And if that isn't dealt with, if that isn't healed, that festers and that becomes part of a personality where people are struggling against things and battling against things that they don't even know why. And it can be traced right back to this offended child. That's why Jesus said, okay, no way. You welcome these kids. You welcome them because if you don't welcome them, you don't welcome me. Let's get a little more explicit. They've been offended. They've been shattered by divorce. Well, it's going to be okay. It never is. Kids think it's their fault. They do. Can you believe that? 4- and 5-year-old kid, if I was a good boy, maybe you would have stayed together. God loves divorcees, but he hates divorce. Why does he hate divorce? Boy, have you ever had to counsel kids in the middle of that? Oh, man. It's brutal. It's brutal. If I had a worst enemy, I wouldn't wish that on him. Okay? It just leaves scars that sometimes only God can heal. They've been demoted by disability. Not coordinated enough, you know, not smart enough. Here's another one. poisoned by pornography. Listen, most guys struggle with this. I've struggled with this all my life. I can go back to the first time I ever encountered it when I was 8 years old, before puberty, not knowing what it was. We lived in downtown Windsor, you know, like, and somebody had left a pornographic magazine in the neighborhood, and I was the first one to find it. And I thought, whoa, you know, I didn't understand it, but something was there, you know, like, and even when you're eight. And my 12-year-old brother, whose hormones had just started kicking in, he grabbed it off me, and I never saw it again, okay? We used to live behind the church, and, you know, he was bringing his friends over during church, you know, and then, hey, look at this, you know, and all this other stuff. And even when I was eight, though, I mean, I understand what it is now, and I saw it do terrible things to my brother as well, okay? There's what was happening. What was that mystical, weird thing? I was encountering the demonic spirit that inspires that stuff. That's pure demonic. Pure demonic. And it gripped me as a kid. I had no defenses until I was older, okay? If somebody doesn't have the Lord, you know, most people don't get over that stuff. And it's everywhere. I mean, the most filthy, horrible stuff in living color, right on your phone, right on your computer, anywhere you want it. And kids are smart. They can get through the barriers, okay? They can find it if they want to. And they're going to want to if somebody hasn't gotten to them. If somebody hasn't been obedient to Christ, okay? You welcome one of these kids. You welcome me, mocked for appearance. You might be an adult now, you might be handsome and beautiful, but as a kid, you know, you had acne and you were obese and maybe you were slow to grow and maybe you were a late bloomer and looked good now, but that affected you and it still affects you. Kids are affected. Heather's going to get to share her story some Saturday morning. You're going to hear a story that will blow you away. You would never believe it if you haven't heard it from her, okay? Maybe I'll share my story about I had acne so bad I was getting dry ice treatments. I was getting ultraviolet ray treatments. Every drug in the book, every cream in the book. I was having cortisone shots in my face to about 3 or 4 every 2 weeks, okay? I had cystic acne. At any given time between the ages of 14 and 19, I had about 7 zits that would be a full centimeter on my face and on my back and everywhere. It was gross, okay? In fact, there are people that tell me that's how you developed your sense of humor, counsel, because everybody thought if I could make people laugh, then I felt, you know, better about myself. And I'm still affected by it. Those of you that are close friends to me, okay, you know, John, you're out of hand. You know, that's probably, there's a connection there, okay? Everybody's got stuff like that. I remember Don Randall. Don Randall was in grade 7 when I went to Ivor Chandler School and I was in grade 5. In grade 7. His dad was a Baptist minister. Don Randall was 6'1" when he was 12. 6'1", okay? Of course, this guy grew way fast. No coordination whatsoever. He'd bang into anything. And they forced him to go onto the basketball team, okay? We had a public school basketball team. And I thought, mistake. And he felt awkward. He felt, hey, blow plays. I mean, he's the worst player on the team. But he's 6'1". You're going out there. And they just humiliated that kid. He was a nice kid, too, you know? But, no, you're gonna fit into this mold. I hope he turned out okay. John, why all this analysis of kids? We get it. We get it. Do we? I wonder. See that you do not despise one of these little ones. I know. Hey, look at there. Sometimes, you know, your flesh tells you that they're despisable. Ugh, you know, ask Bobby. You know, like, it was a porter running all over the place. He took off a couple times last week. Okay. Okay. For I tell you, look at that, they're angels. He doesn't say that we have angels, but the little ones do. They're angels in heaven, always see the face of my Father in heaven. In other words, they're ratting on you. Okay? They're saying, they're not being too kind to our, you know. They got other priorities. They got more important things. There is nothing more important. Okay? In fact, I'll tell you something right now. If we fail and we don't do that good at how well we present this adult service, our worship time, but we got a killer kids program, I think God's going to be pleased. I don't think he will be that upset. I think if the priorities are on the kids, okay, I think God is always going to have his hand of blessing and mercy on us. I've seen it over and over and over and over and over. I've seen ministries come and go that they're flash in the pan and they'd run a great time, but if they ignore kids, forget it. The ones that are emphasizing kids, the ones that see how precious the things are that Jesus says are, it seems as though the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit is with them. Well, just like the word it said it would be. You know, he doesn't lie. It's kind of threatening, isn't it? You know? He is being threatening. You don't despise. Don't despise. Where have you heard that before? That's familiar. Well, in 1 Thessalonians, I'm not going to put it on there, but in 1 Thessalonians 5:20, you can look it up. It says, don't despise prophecies. Sometimes prophecies come from the craziest sources. And God says, don't despise them. It's the same thing. Don't despise kids. How do we despise prophecies? We don't pay attention to them. We go along our merry way and they don't affect us whatsoever. That's the same way we despise kids. We don't pay attention to them. We go along our merry way and think that they don't matter. I'm telling you, they matter. Okay? They matter. They matter and they always will. They have to matter here. It's a dangerous thing, according to Christ, to ignore kids. The stats haven't changed, although our culture is changing. 85% of born-again Christians, people that understand that Jesus Christ died for their sins and they have given their life to Him, they've asked Christ to come into their life and cleanse them from sins, and it's irrespective of what kind of church you were raised in, but you realize that only Christ can forgive you of your sins, and you have invited Him into your life and asked Him to come and be Lord of your life. 85% of Christians, people do that, born-again Christians, made their first commitments to Christ before they were 14. 85%. So what does that mean? Boy, you got to reach them now. Because if you don't reach them by the time they're 12, 13, 14, in just about every church, okay, by the time a kid is 13, 14, they're gone, okay? Because churches are so dead and churches are so doing their thing that is not as high a priority as Jesus says it is in the Word of God. The kids aren't stupid. They don't care about me. What do they care? They push us off in a corner, put up a screen, and hopefully we won't, you know, burn the place down, okay? Thanks for bringing the screen in, Bobby. I didn't mean anything personal by that. Okay, because I know you guys are heart and soul and everything. But you get what I'm saying here, okay? By the time they're 13, kids are not stupid. And they're gone. They're going to find fun. They're going to find excitement somewhere else. And I've railed on this for years. How in the world can you take the most incredible, fabulous, wonderful message to ever hit the planet and make it boring so a kid says, I'm gone, okay? Neglectful leaders, okay? People that don't care. People that do not have the priority of Jesus Christ. Okay? Who are the revolutionaries in second and third world countries? Who are the ones that ISIS is pulling in? And they're not just pulling people. People in those countries, they want to join these revolutionary organizations. Central America. It's usually kids around 13, 14, 15, 16. Okay? When they're starting to make... In Africa, all across Africa. Africa's filled with all sorts of, you know, despot leaders. And they have a way of inspiring kids. The kids go, yeah, I'll go to the wall for you. I'll die for you. Okay? When you have kids that get inspired by Christ like that, well, then you got the makings of saints. You've got the makings of real disciples, the way the Bible describes disciples. We have to reach them now before the offenses take their toll, while they're still reachable. What did he say? Woe to those who cause these offenses. Will you close your eyes with me? Okay. God. We need you to haunt us about this, God. We need you to bug us about this. Because as we're trying to follow you, we're going to be doing our own little merry thing and we're going to think you're with us. But God, really, we don't deserve to have you with us if we're going to ignore the people that are more important to you than anything, God. So you got to show us how to do this. God, I pray that even in this room for wounds that are still there in people's lives, Lord God, that there would be healing. That the love of God, Lord God, would be that healing balm, Lord God, that soothes and takes away the infection and the pain, God. Lord, I pray, God, that, Lord, if there's repentance that's needed, God, if we in any way have been neglectful, or God, we've said a harsh word, or maybe we've had an unchristlike attitude, then God, we got to make that right. You want us to make that right. So, Lord, if that's needed, you're going to give us an opportunity to do that, Lord. And God, we have to, God, if we're to have your presence and power in our lives, Lord, we have to, our commitment, Lord, to your precious kids have got to be renewed in a real way, Lord. In a real way. And I ask you would do that, Lord. I ask you would do that. I'm not signing, keep your eyes closed. I'm not signing people up for kids' ministries because to me that would just be, well, it's a one-shot deal sermon and I'm trying to get kids help. That's not what this is about. This is a whole change of attitude here. This is This is something that we embrace. Yes, I want to be part of that priority. I don't know much about kids, but John, I feel the Holy Spirit talking to me this morning. And I'm not expecting people that are going to raise their hand. They're all going to sign up for kids ministry, although that would be amazing. Okay. In fact, we can hardly do it the way we want to right now. But, and again, there's no, thank you for keeping your eyes closed, by the way, because the reason I'm doing this is because I don't want you to be embarrassed in any way. If you would say to me this morning, John, I think God's talking here, and yeah, I want that priority in my life. I want that. I don't know how, but I think it's right, and I am very comfortable being in Christ Church. If that's the direction we're going, if that's the priority we're going to have, yeah, I'm embracing that. I like that. Put your hand up and down, and down real quick. Okay? Good for you. Father, the people that didn't raise their hands, God, please, God, just... You love them too, and Lord, I just pray that they won't we won't drive them too crazy here, because it could get a little rangy here. But God, a little bit of Holy Spirit inspired ranginess, Lord God, that's not bad. Lord, it's better, Lord, it's better to have too much life than not enough life. God, maternity wards are noisy, crazy places where the unexpected happens. Funeral homes, everybody looks nice, but everything's dead. And God, Lord, we want to be a place that's filled with your life. Show us how to do this. Show us how to encourage each other for this. And the people that have your mind concerning this, I pray they would hold sway in this church family, God. I pray they would hold sway in this church family. God, people that have your mind, God, give them great influence, Lord, in this place. And the ones, Lord, that have any type of kingdom of the flesh or any type of agenda, and that includes the pastor, Lord. God, Lord, we do not want to be led by the flesh. You have to lead this, God, and it has to be your priority. Show us, Lord God, how to follow hard after you and implementing your plans. Amen.